What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not.
Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Welcome back to Mass Radio, sports talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call on the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
Ladies and gentlemen, back by popular demand, Tough Deals of the Week has returned. Sports situations can occur where there is no right or wrong answer, but there are definitely two different sides to take in regards to the story. This segment is normally more opinionated, so we encourage you to call in and speak on whatever topic we are discussing. Kellen, can you give us that number one more time for them to call in?
That is 253-535-7332.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is 253-535-7332.
Four times for you.
Lacey Nicholson. Again?
Lacey Nicholson.
All right, so here's my tough deal of the week, guys. I grew up with Max Brown, USC starting quarterback, or at least
no
was
longer.
Former USC starting quarterback.
Yep.
So I have a soft spot for him. He's a great kid, great friend of mine. And for those of you who don't know, he started the first three games of the season. Mm-hmm. He's been going to USC for 3 years now, behind Cody Kessler, amazing quarterback who's in the NFL now. What do you guys know what team he plays for?
Cody Kessler now plays for the Browns.
That's right.
He will
and he's
be starting,
starting
for the Browns. Be the fifth starting quarterback in 5 weeks for the Browns.
So, wow. Yeah, he's a stud. Max was behind him the whole time. I think learned a lot from Cody Kessler and from the USC quarterback program, obviously, because he stuck it out all that time. He did have opportunities to go elsewhere. He was heavily recruited by UW, and that was kind of his tough decision to go to USC or UW, and he chose USC, knowing that he might not get the starting position right away. But like I said, he stuck it out. And now, in his junior year, eligibility-wise, he's able to come out and start for USC. And after three games, record is 2-1, or 1-2, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 1-2.
Losing to Alabama and Stanford, two ranked teams right now. Alabama at number one and Stanford at number seven. And they're deciding to pull Max from the starting position. So It's kind of my tough deal, just because I think Max has been loyal to the program. He's worked his butt off. There's all this hype. He's going to do great things. And to rip him from that spot so early, it's just kind of a tough deal. But I do see both sides of it. I'll hit on that later, but I want to hear your guys's thoughts.
Well, I just like to point out that, you know, Kellen, I know you were in practice during our pre-show. We'll call it a pre-show meeting when me, Kellen, and Lacey were kind of going back and forth. I mean, me, Christian, Lacey were going back and forth trying to figure out what we were going to do for our tough deal. And Lacey was so passionate about this subject. He thinks Max Brown's just getting screwed. And she's so passionate about it, and just feels like she's a big loyalty lady. I love it. It's fantastic. But at the end of the day, I was just like, me and Christian were just kind of blown away. We were looking at like more national spotlights. We're like, you know what? She's so passionate about it. The female point of view has been so amazing to have in studio. Let's let her run with it. Let's see what she has.
Well, and it could be because I'm a softy, and it could be because I know Max personally, but I do see both sides of the story. He did not perform well in the last three games. He's thrown for under 200 yards in all three games, just a little above 100 yards, which is not very efficient for a quarterback. And I also see head coach Clay Helton is in a tough spot. I mean, his job's on the line too. So I see that side of things, but I do think it's still a little too soon. Kellen, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Kellen, I got a big long rant, so you go ahead, buddy, and then I typed up this huge long rant that I'm going to go on after you.
It's Division I football! It's the Pac-12! This ain't intramurals! It's USC football! It's about winning! He is 1-2. Bless his heart, he went to Skyline. I understand where you're coming from, Lacey. I get it. He's 55 of 87. He's thrown for 474 yards, two touchdowns through three games, two interceptions, and let's just look at the amazing list of USC quarterbacks. Carson Palmer, who's a stud. He's on the cover of NCAA 2004,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, let me just give you this. After that name, you cannot find me another quarterback on that list who's had a successful NFL career.
I'm not talking about NFL. I'm talking about college.
Okay, that's fair.
Absolutely to your point. NFL, yes, but college.
Okay.
USC quarterbacks. Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Matt Barkley, and John David Booty. Again, from Carson Palmer, everybody else has been pretty much scrubs when it comes to the NFL. But, Lacey, I get where you're coming from. He's your friend. If I was in your position, I would absolutely kind of, you know, sympathize with you, if you will. I played against Max Brown in high school. I actually picked him off twice in the playoffs.
Yeah, but who won?
Who won that game? Who won that game? Skyline won that game.
Skyline. They did beat Rodgers. My knee was down, by the way, on that fumble. But here's the point. It's Division I football, and so they are going to focus on the next guy up. Doesn't matter if you've been in the program. Doesn't matter if you're a super, super senior. They want to win now. And to your point, Lacey, Clay Helton's in a predicament. And when I think of head coaches in Division I, their time is clicking. So if you're not winning, you got to find out and you got to figure out, what do I got to do to win the football game? And it starts at the quarterback position. At PLU in 2008, I think it was, we had a guy named Chris Main, who was a guy who was just such an emol, was in the program every single year, pouring his heart. His family gave money. His family, you know, would stay after and cook food for us. So it was one of those things where when he became a senior, he was a projected starter. But through the first four games, we knew he just wasn't the guy. So when my dad put in the freshman starter, there was some kind of heckling, like, oh my gosh, Chris was, you know, the guy. He was a stud. He's been in the program all this time. But again, if you're not winning football games, you got to make a change, Drew.
Okay, so I'm going to go where I go everywhere with these kind of topics. I go to the institution. I go to the coaching level. Here's the deal. In the NFL, coaching is so important, Kellen, is it not? Coaching is so important. No, it's not. It's not at all.
Coaching?
In the NFL, you can win despite a bad coach.
Oh, we're talking college, though.
No, hold on. Wait. Okay. You can win despite a bad coach, correct? You can win. Ask the Pittsburgh Steelers. They do it all the time. Mike Tomlin's not the best coach in the world. But they win despite him. Why? Because it's a what league?
Players league.
It's a players league. And more than it's a players league, what is it? It's a quarterbacks league.
Right.
Right? Okay.
I would agree.
You're with me. Okay.
Lacey, you agree?
Yeah.
In college, coaching matters. Coaching matters a lot. Coaching is the most important thing. It's more important than your quarterback. Ask Alabama. Can either of you tell me who Alabama's quarterback is? I didn't think so.
I can tell you who the girlfriend of the past quarterback is.
Can you tell me now? Can you tell me who Alabama's coach is?
Nick Saban.
Okay. Let's talk about Ohio State. How many people have played a quarterback for Ohio State in the last 2 years?
Great points, Drew. I mean,
four, right? Yeah. Can you name me all four of them?
Terrell Pryor.
Oh, thank you. How about after that?
Yeah.
Who's Ohio State's coach?
Urban Meyer.
Not even a question.
Exactly.
Coaching matters. Max Brown's been subjected to four different head coaches in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Why? Because USC is scared. USC is insecure.
Yeah.
Is very insecure. They don't want to go after a big name because you know what the big name is going to tell them? No. They don't want to hear no. They're like the guy who's dating safe or the girl who's dating safe all their life. Right? They don't want to hear no. They don't want to hear no.
What do you mean they don't want to hear no?
They don't want to go after a big name coach. Be it an NFL coach or be it a go try to steal a coach from a big school. Like, I think Dabo Swinney's a fantastic coach.
Oh, and for them to say no to USC?
USC. I think that's why they keep on picking from in-house. I think they're insecure. I think they're completely insecure. And it's reflected in what's going on. I mean, those quarterbacks you named that were so good, I don't think Matt Puntley's very good. I mean, Barkley, excuse me. I don't think Matt Barkley's very good. But the other four quarterbacks you named, you know what era they came from, Kellen? The Pete Carroll era.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Age. The Trojan War age. The best USC has ever been.
Mm.
Before that and after that, guess what USC is? It's called tailback U. Not quarterback U. It's called tailback U. Okay? It doesn't matter. After Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, yeah, was great. Great under Pete Carroll. Guess what? What do you do in the NFL? Who cares? Nothing. Here's the deal. Beyond that, to the play calling coaches level, there's no use of three-step passing game. Zero. They don't run it. It's only five-step. Too long. Okay? They don't throw the ball to the tight ends. There's no gap running game at all. They don't run a gap. They don't run zone runs. Their tendencies on offense are visible to your average 12-year-old playing Madden. Okay, it's ridiculous. It's so dumb. Follow the fullback. Whatever ball, whatever side the running back's on, they're throwing to. It's not that hard to figure out at the end of the day. Their new offense coordinator, just they have a new one this year now, completely out of touch, okay? Has no idea what he's doing. Max had Helton for his entire career, right? Mm-hmm. His entire career, but now has had four head coaches and no year-to-year consistency because his coordinators have changed, his quarterback coaches changed every year since then. They go under center, like in a pro-style offense, maybe five times a game, and I don't think there's been a play-action pass and a straight drop-back pass without play-action in two seasons. Everything's off of play-action. Some days, you just need to let them take a three-step drop and throw the ball out of the pro set. And here's the deal. At the end of the day, with Stanford, it was like bright as day. They have a 5'10 safety. And he's unathletic. He's a run-force guy, and they didn't attack him in the air. That was it for me. I was like, this is a coaching problem. This is an institutional problem. You are insecure, you are scared, and you are afraid to hear the word no. Go chase a big-time coach, because guess what? The Golden Age, the Trojan War, has been over for a long time.
So, Lacey, who is going to be the next starter for the U.S.?
It's a freshman.
So for Max, that has to really hurt, I think.
Yeah.
For Max, like you said, been in the program. But again, at the end of the day, I don't want to say USC is throwing the towel for their season, but it's like if they're going to a freshman, they're obviously thinking long term here in this process. So that's tough.
It's a tough
and
deal.
I hope that if this freshman doesn't get it done, that Max gets another chance, because I think he deserves another chance if this freshman can't quite produce.
Right.
Let me turn this question to you and then to you, Lacey. As athletes here, as we all are, football team, loyalty is important to you guys. I mean, is loyalty important to that program, to the football program?
When you say the word loyalty, are you referring to just sticking through the program for 4 years?
For 4 years, here's my deal. Despite the fact if John was good enough, do you think because he's the senior and had stuck it out and learned behind Dalton or whatever, your dad would have given him the reins game one with a short leash just to see because he earned that right?
I think he earned it.
Yes, you think he earned it. But do you think that if he hadn't of, because of loyalty, your dad would have given it to him?
Are you saying if Cole was the better quarterback, Cole would have started. Absolutely.
Loyalties aside,
100%.
You would have started the sophomore over the senior.
100%.
Now let me look at you, Lacey, let's say, for sake of argument, coach transferred in a junior this year who plays your position, who is, let's say, a better scorer than you, but you're a better all-around player.
Yeah,
but the women's team struggles to put points on the board.
Yeah, she would definitely pick what was best for the team, the team's record winning wise.
Okay, so currently, unless you completely 110% agree with me, which you can, that's fine. I like when you do that. Very not often that happens in this room, but would you be okay with that?
I think.
Are you a just win baby kind of girl? Just win.
I'm definitely for the team success. I'm a total team player, but that would sting quite a bit, especially with the relationships I've built with my coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been one of those players that has been loyal to the program. I work my butt off each and every day, and they know that. They know that I'm one of the most committed players on the team.
Yep.
So yeah, that would sting, but I think that's reality, and I think that's kind of where I have to look back to the Max Brown case. I mean, it's reality, it's sports, it's competition. Coaches are going to do what they have to do to win, and that's just the way it is.
So let me open this up to a more national scale. Let's say Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get hurt, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, the Patriots quarterback, doesn't get hurt, okay? And let's say the Patriots go 4-0. Let's go 4-0, just for fun. Just for argument's sake, Christian, welcome back. Just for argument's sake. Do you give Brady back the starting job when Garoppolo's gone 4-0? I mean, Christian, do you give Brady back the starting job because you're loyal, or do you go with the new guy? Brady's got two more years probably of being elite.
Yes, but you do go – you give it back to Brady, but you think a lot harder when it's time to renew that contract.
You think a lot – I mean
– you think a lot harder about
doing
that. I
mean, Joe Montana went to the Chiefs because the Niners didn't want to renew him and sign and let Steve Young go.
How'd that work out for him?
Decently okay. Decently
better
okay.
Better than if you let the old dog go till he
Philly breaks.
So I mean, Kellen,
if you want to come register your opinion on this, we were talking about it. Like, what happens if Jimmy Garoppolo goes 4-0? What happens if Jimmy Garoppolo goes 4-0? Do you bring back Brady?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
So, but isn't that a loyalty thing? Alex Smith went out.
Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Alex Smith went out, and Colin Kaepernick went 5-0. Then Alex Smith was healthy.
Is Alex Smith Tom Brady?
No, but this is the point here. Tom Brady's got 3 more years of probably being elite, right? Elite, top of his game. Is that worth a big contract at the end of the year when his contract is up? Or do you want to just hand the reins over to Jimmy now and put Brady in the back seat?
Well, I think you pay players for what they're going to do, not what they've done. I love Kobe Bryant, but the Lakers gave Kobe Bryant a deal that was unheard of, and it killed the Lakers because they paid him
for what he's done. Yes.
But I think Tom Brady still has 3 years left, so they're going to pay him for what he's going to do.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I just can't get behind that. I feel like you feed the hot hand, Lacey. What's going on?
I think we should probably wrap this segment up, but just to end, I think there's different levels too of competition. We're kind of bouncing around. We're going NBA, NFL,
yeah,
college, D3, D1. There's differences, you know? But really where my argument comes from is just if you have two players that can equally contribute and maybe one has different strengths than the other, but they're pretty much going to give the same effort, the same outcome, the same efficiency.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go with the player that's been in the program longer, that knows the system, that's been loyal, when it's a neck and neck? We're giving examples of this person's clearly better than this person. You're going to do that.
Obviously, they don't feel that way. That's my thing. Obviously, they don't feel that way.
Right.
And now, do I think that's a coaching mistake? Yes. 100% yes. And that goes back to what I was talking about at the very beginning.
It's either that or they're looking into the future, so they want to start a freshman.
Yeah.
And they want him to be able to be prepared for his sophomore and junior campaign.
Yeah, I mean,
if only we could get into their brains and know what they were thinking.
Well, everyone wants to get in their brains because everyone wants to know why USC football has been struggling for so long. I mean, and hold on, what was that? Come on, our producer sitting here in the back watching us all work like a proud father sitting over there is like, it's because Pete Carroll's gone. You're right. And every quarterback that Kellen named at the very beginning of his rant, which I'm going to make him do one more time before we get off the air.
It's Division I football.
Come on. You know what I mean? It's the end of it. I know. And it burns Kellen deep. I get it. Thank you so much. It is a tough deal. Who the heck knows what USC's thinking? Not even the best national broadcasters, ESPN, the whole rest of the world know what they're thinking. If anyone did, they'd have a better head coach than they do now that's not just a mouthpiece, and we'd figure it out.
Guys, great stuff. Up next, we turn our sights to a local professional sports team. Find out what that team is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mass Radio, Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right, so last week when we came in here to do this radio show, I was so excited. I don't know about you guys, but I was so excited for the Mariners. They had just won 8 straight games. They were just a game and a half out of the wild card position. They had a huge 6-game homestand this past week. They played the Houston Astros. They went a disappointing 1-2 in that series. They lost the series. They salvaged Sunday's game, however. What worked and what didn't work for the team against the Astros, Kellen? What happened Friday night?
Well, Queen Felix pitched about 4 innings, giving up 9 hits.
Jeez. Wow!
I did say Queen Felix. I didn't stutter. 9 hits, 6 runs, including 2 home runs. What's frustrating, guys, is when the best player on your team plays extremely poor, that is so frustrating as a coach. You expect great players to play great or good. Again, everyone has off days. But when your average players play great, that's also extremely exciting. But when your leader, when your veteran, when the guy that you want to lean on when you're in a pickle, and he gives up 6 runs and 9 hits, that is a very, very tough deal. And in my opinion, it kind of set the tone for the whole series.
Yeah, it's very fair to say. I think that it was a tone setter. You know, they went with the $8 tickets for the weekend, and there was so much excitement. And then to come out and perform like that as your leader, as your stud pitcher, it's incredibly disappointing. It's a gut punch to the team who was on such a momentous role. Lacey, what happened on Saturday?
All right, so on Saturday, the team could not manage to score more than 1 run. The M's lost 2-1 against the Astros. Even though the team managed to out-hit the Astros 7-5, the M's were 0-6 with runners in scoring position, and that's going to be tough to win ball games if you can't drive in those runs.
You got to take advantage when your runners get into the position to score. You got to be able to drive them in. Drew, did you check out Sunday's game? Did you kind of see it between the NFL? What was going on?
I watched more NFL than I did MLB.
Mm-hmm.
I did click in between, though. I wanted to make sure for you, Christian,
so kind,
that I watched the Mariners.
So kind.
And I dug the old man, Seth Smith.
Attaboy.
All 33 years old of him. Is he like the dad of that Mariners roster?
That's what they call him in the clubhouse.
No,
he's
they
known
don't.
As dad.
Stop.
Yes, they,
do they
yeah.
really?
Yeah, they do. They call him dad.
They call him dad.
I've called him uncle before because I feel like everyone has an uncle that looks like Seth Smith. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, here.
So what did he do on Sunday?
Didn't watch the game on Sunday. However, he's hitting .333. You know, he's hitting .238 in the last game. He's got on-base percentage almost around .400. Slugging in the last 7 games, .714. I mean,
yeah.
Good Lord. He's killing it. Got 3 bombs. 5 in the last 15 games. He got 3 bombs in the last 7 games, 5 bombs in the last 15. I mean, guy's killing it. Go dad.
Yeah. Yeah, he had 2 home runs on Sunday. Really, really put the team. He drove in runs, and he helped the team win on that day. I think they won 7-3. All right. So even after losing the series against the Astros, the M's were only 2 games back of the second wild card holder when they paid a visit to Safeco Field, and that was the Blue Jays. It was a very interesting vibe in Safeco Field for the last 3 days. Lacey, what can you tell us about the first game of that series?
Yeah, Canada really took over Safeco Field. All 3 days, the stadium sounded like a home game for the Blue Jays, which is sad. I mean, where are the Seattle fans at? On Monday, Blue Jays pitcher Marco Estrada was the story of the game. Estrada went 7 innings, allowing just 1 hit, while striking out 8 and allowing 3 walks. The Jays won 3-2. Leonis Martin hit a 2-run homer in the bottom of the 9th. But this game was all Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's weird though. Like, you can't blame Seattle fans for what took place over the weekend. It's like a U.S. national game of any sort, basketball, soccer, any. You know, that's your team. That's your nation's team. You know, you cheer for them whenever you get the chance. You watch them on TV, all that stuff. That's kind of what happened. I mean, Canada's only 3 hours away. That's an easy vacation planning. If you're a baseball fan and your nation has one team, like Canada does,
mm-hmm.
it's easy
it
to
used
come
to be the
to
Montreal
say,
Expos.
No.
No. You know, I'm saying that they used to have a team
okay.
called Montreal Expos.
Yeah,
not
okay,
that the
I got
Blue
you.
Jays were.
I got you.
Yeah.
A.
Canada
A.
Tuesday night was rough. I mean, Iwakuma, is that correct? I know you guys just roasted me for my pronunciation of him last time.
Yeah, the last name's easier than the first.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Iwakuma. He got the L. ERA went up more than a few points, and by more than a few, I mean like a whole point and a half. Toronto, 14 hits, 10 runs. You know, you thought you were going to be able to dodge the Josh Donaldson bullet with his injury, and he comes back and pops a home run. It was a rough night.
It was tough to watch. I think the top of the fourth inning lasted about 45 minutes, where the Blue Jays just piled on
was
the offense.
Didn't the Blue Jays hit 4 homers that game?
They crushed the ball, which is what they do.
Four
That's
homers?
What they're built to do. So it was interesting.
I was at Red Robin. It was 2-0. Went to the bathroom, got some more fries. 8-2 when I looked up again. Unreal.
Kellen, can you give us before we let Christian get on his soapbox about the Mariners here? Can you give us the good old Mariners analogy, the good old Mariners ex girlfriend analogy? Why are the Mariners like an ex girlfriend?
folks, the Mariners are like your ex-girlfriend. She'll text you every once in a while. She'll poke you on Facebook. She'll get your hopes up. But at the end of the day, you just can't trust her.
They
but
last 10 night, runs.
But last night was awesome. So I was tough on Felix earlier, but he proved again why he's the king of baseball. LeBron James, he's the king of basketball. Felix is the king of baseball. He's not the queen anymore. He pitched 7 innings, only gave up 2 hits. He earned his crown back. They won the game 2-1. And again, if I'm Felix, you know, at times I would be very, very upset with what team I'm on. Because 2-1, like, I mean, there's not a lot of confidence in the bats if I'm Felix. It's like, you look at his winning every single game that he's won in his career, it's been by like 1 run. It's not like 8-4. It's not 8-1. It's always 2-1. It's just crazy.
Felix knows by now that he cannot give up any more than 1 run if he wants a W. He knows that by now. Christian?
Well, the thing, the offense, the Mariners' offense this year has been much improved from what it was, you know, last year, the year before that. They're up near the top 5 in home runs in the league. I mean, they score, but it seems to happen when Hisashi Wakuma's on the mound.
Yep.
Or when somebody else is on the mound. When Felix is on the mound, historically, the Mariners haven't been able to score runs. And, you know, every year, every team is different. But it's kind of it's tough. It's tough to be Felix Hernandez, which is kind of what you guys are saying. And
that could almost be a tough deal of the week.
Yeah.
It's tough to be Felix.
But could you, like, 7 innings, 2 hits.
That's unreal.
Can you imagine? My angle is, can you imagine if that happens on Friday night?
Oh.
And you go on a 9, that takes the win streak to 9.
Because in my opinion, if I'm you know, Cano, I'm obviously a great player, but it's like guys on the Mariners are going to flock to the greatest players on the team, which is Felix. So when Felix is playing great, that gives the confidence in the other guys. When Felix played horrible a couple nights ago, that just, again, started the whole segment of like, you know what, gosh, we don't really have a lot of confidence on the team. Now Felix plays great last night, the Mariners play a little bit better. So I think it all starts with your best player and your leader.
Exactly, and yesterday the big three, Cano, Cruz, Seager, they were like 0-12. Yeah. I mean, they struggled on the homestand, and they need to play better. Moving forward, there are 11 games left in the season. Now the crazy part about this is the Mariners went 2-4 on that homestand. All right, so for the last 11 games of the season, everyone needs to be paying attention to these wild card standings. Toronto went from holding the second wild card by a game. Now they're up. They're the first wild card by a game with what they did against the Mariners. The Red Sox swept the Baltimore Orioles, right? So now they're the second. They're the visiting team in that wild card game. If the season ends right now, they're the visiting team in this wild card game.
Then it's Detroit, okay? Right?
Detroit didn't gain any ground. They've been 1 game back since we talked last week, okay? Houston gained ground. They're back to being a game back of that second wild card spot, right? The Mariners, even though they went, what was it, 2-4 on that series?
I picked them to go 4-2. You said 3-3. They are said 6-0.
They are still only 2 games out of that second wild card spot.
And this is after Christian sentenced them to death.
I did. I'm not the only one. But what I'm saying is they struggled this whole homestand. It was kind of disappointing to watch them go 2-4. But they're still only 2 games back. The AL East plays each other a lot in these last 11 games. It's fun to be on the West Coast for this because you get to see that those games are over. You get to see who lost already by the time your game starts. So that's exciting. They're still in it, is what I'm getting at.
They're still very much in it. Time out. Can we say that one more time again? They are still in it.
They are still in it.
They are not dead as they were 2 weeks ago. Don't stick a fork in them. Take
the best part about it is
shoot them.
The best part about it is they start a 3-game series this weekend against Minnesota, who is, by record, the worst team in baseball right now. So they need to sweep the Twins. They have to do it. And they have Houston, so they can gain ground on Houston one more time. Right? They have a series at Houston. And then they come home for the last 4 games against Oakland, who is 66-86.
Yeah, but it's Oakland.
Soft. It's a soft end of the season with other teams playing against each other. You really never know what could happen. They could sneak in and be the visiting team in that wild card game, that 1-game playoff.
This is bad for radio, but is that a King Dome shirt?
Yeah.
I love that. That's a great... That shows a true Mariners fan
In loving memory.
Yeah, my shirt says In Loving Memory of the King Dome.
I wish we were on Periscope, folks,
1976
so
to 2000.
The King Dome shirt, some great games played there by the Mariners.
All right, let's take a break.
Randy Johnson's
head. Yeah, let's get out of here.
So, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, our special segment, the Seahawks will, will be underway. Find out what we think they will do next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
What's the big deal?
No more.
It's just the way he is.
No more. He just has a temper.
No more. But he's such a nice guy.
No more. But he has such a bright future.
No more. Not my problem.
No more. I'll say something next time.
No more. Why didn't she tell anyone?
No more. Why doesn't she just leave?
No more. I'm sure they'll work it out.
No more. She seems fine to me.
No more. What was she wearing?
No more. She was drunk.
No more. He was drunk.
No more. She was asking for it.
No more. She never said no.
No more. Not in this family.
No more. Not on this team.
No more. We don't talk about that.
No more bystanding.
No more ignorance.
No more excuses.
No more.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes here on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please help us out here. We want to get your opinion on everything that happened to the Seahawks this week, from the sanctions brought down by the NFL to how they played against the Rams to what they're going to do against the 49ers this weekend. The number to do that is 253-535-7332. Once again, call us at 253-535-7332. All right. So before we get into our predictions, what we think of that the Seahawks will do against the 49ers this week, we need to talk about the sanctions that came down on the Seahawks from the NFL. All right.
Pete Carroll got sanctions brought against him? No way.
There it is.
No way.
So for violating a no contact rule on the June 6th organized team activity that they had, the team was fined $400,000. Pete Carroll was fined $200,000. And I think the two most important penalties against the Seahawks are that they are going to lose their 2017 fifth-round draft pick.
Which is huge.
Mm-hmm. And the team will lose an entire week, the entire first week of OTAs in 2017. They're going to lose a pick, they're going to lose gaining a player, and they're going to lose a week of practice. Ugh. All right, what are your thoughts?
So, I guess the NFL seems to be a bit nitpicky. The rule is set so that it can reduce risk of injury, which makes sense, and also so that teams don't have any competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but the punishment seems a bit excessive, in my opinion. The money's one thing. I mean, sure, they're able to pay that off and not have to overthink that one, but the other two, I think, are going to affect the Seahawks. The Seahawks were punished for this same violation in 2012, so they know what they're getting themselves into, they know what they got themselves into, but Pete Carroll makes it sound like it's a difficult rule to follow. He says, "I'm really disappointed because we have worked really hard to try to do a great job. We've practiced hard around here, and we always have. We have to do it right, and we have made some strong efforts to do that, but we're still working on it." So it's kind of hard to see where he's coming from. I'm not sure if it's nitpicky, if it's not a very clear rule, but it seems like it's something they've been working on, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Pete Carroll's just blowing smoke, and who knows?
So more typical Pete Carroll attitudes, you mean? Like, you know, break a bunch of rules, put Reggie Bush and his family in a multi-million-dollar house, and then peace out of USC before the sanctions come down. Mm-hmm. You mean something like that?
Yeah. It's...
it's the Pete Carroll way.
It's
Pete Carroll walks that line every single year. Now, I'm going to get on the NFL a little bit here. Football is a collision sport. Basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. Okay, I understand CTE, the movie Concussion, all this stuff, bringing awareness. But here's the deal. Football players are smart. You need to put more power in the hands of the football player in terms of how, when, why they're allowed to hit. I'm sure they're probably just going thud contact, and the league didn't like it, okay? Because to Pete Carroll, that's probably not full contact. But to the league, that is, because you still have collisions and stuff like that. That's fine. But football is a collision physical sport. It is six-second controlled street fights before you go back to the huddle for 20 seconds and let play clock runs. Then you go back to the line of scrimmage for another six-second controlled street fight, okay? It's physical. Listen, protect the quarterback. I get it. Protect your wideouts. I get it. But Offensive, why do you think offensive line play is so poor in the league right now? Why do you think it's so poor? Because they can't hit anybody in the league. And hitting someone in college from a two-point stance, which is what 90% of college programs are running now in the spread no huddle, is completely different than hitting somebody out of a three-point stance in a pro-style power run game. It's completely different. Ask the Seahawks. Why do you think the Seahawks haven't been able to draft a credible lineman? Why do you think it's taken the Cowboys 4.5 years to get their offensive line solid? Because it takes time in the league and it takes hits. I'm sorry, but that's a part of practice. Is the NFL need to change their rules? Yes. But is Pete Carroll messing around again? Absolutely. Yes.
I like what you said, Drew, about football being a collision sport. You're absolutely right. And to that point, I think Thursday games should be done away with.
Absolutely.
Because in Division III, I play Saturday. I'm sore on Monday. And the NFL is a different league. So in my opinion, that's just kind of to your point there about the physical aspect of football. But I think you have to look at, again, like you said, Pete Carroll's street cred. At USC, he had some sanctions under while Pete was the head coach with Reggie Bush.
Some?
Being allowed special benefits, obviously, while playing at USC. The team ended up losing 30 scholarships.
Where's Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy?
Not in his house. And they were banned from basically bowl games for 2 years. And it's interesting because Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll coached together. And Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll, you know, are kind of 1 and 1A. And I think they both walk that fine line. They enjoy pressing the envelope. They're going to do whatever it takes to kind of, you know, get a little bit of an edge on another team. Obviously, Spygate, Deflategate, all that. So in my opinion, you know, you become who you hang around with. And those guys, they want to win so badly that they might kind of press the envelope a little bit too much. And I think that's what happened here.
If I'm going to jump real quick on what you said about Thursday night games, and then after that, we got to move on to the Seahawks. If the NFL truly cared about player safety, the regular season would be 20 weeks long with about 3 bye weeks in it. You can keep your Thursday night games. You can keep your Monday night games. You can make more money off of TV ratings and selling ads. It makes sense for all parties. They don't do it. Whether you have to take preseason, it's part of what makes the NFL so successful anyway. It's 17 weeks. 16 of those weeks, I have to pay attention one day. That helps people pay attention to the NFL.
Yep.
It makes it easy. Now, for player safety reasons, seasons should be longer with more bye weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to do it. To me, that doesn't make any sense. All right, let's talk about the Seahawks. Let's move forward. They have the Seahawks play the 49ers this weekend at home. So, Lacey, what's going to happen?
Well, shoot, guys. I was pretty confident last week that the Hawks are going to beat the Rams. But I'm not giving up hope just yet. The season is just getting started. So I'm going to say the Hawks will beat the 49ers.
Are you ever going to say the Hawks will lose? One time?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
I just want to get that out there.
But they will beat the 49ers. I'm going to go with Drew. Drew always says it's a quarterback's league. Am I right? But I got some evidence to back that up. So it's quarterback's league. The 49ers QB, Blaine Gabbert, is not very effective, not very efficient. In the last 6 years of the league, he's played in 39 games and thrown for only 36 touchdowns. So even just those numbers right there, you can see he's not very effective. To put that in perspective, Cam Newton was drafted the same year, 2011, and has played in 80 games and thrown for 122 touchdowns. So you see kind of the difference there with a much more efficient quarterback. And then to give some Wilson stats, Russell Wilson has played in 66 games and thrown for 107 touchdowns. So, yeah, I think quarterback's league, Wilson's got the experience, and I think they're gonna win this one.
But not to just cut people off like this, but Blaine Gabbert has thrown as many touchdowns as points scored by the Seahawks last game.
That's a good point. Blaine Gabbert's thrown 3 touchdowns this year, and Russell Wilson's only thrown 1. So it's, it's quarterback's league.
And how
is
many
it a quarterback?
Points did the Seahawks score against the awful Rams? How many points, Lacey? How many points? 3. You know how many points the Niners scored? Oh, yeah, they shut them out.
Okay,
that's
well.
Not how many points they scored, Drew. Kellen, what do you think will happen?
28, excuse me.
There you go.
On Sunday, the Seahawks will win, but.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Major but after. I must say, I've been extremely impressed, and I hope this doesn't boost your ego here, Drew, with the 49ers so far.
I'm not boosted at all. The Niners are awful.
Let me speak. 28-0 against the Rams. Impressive. Anytime you shut out a team in the NFL, that's impressive. You think of how good field goal kickers are. And again, you're a professional. That's impressive. A shutout. And they hung with the Panthers for 3 quarters. Again, Cam Newton, MVP last year. The Panthers made it to the Super Bowl. I like what Chip Kelly has been doing with this team. And again, you look at all the distractions that are going on right now with the whole Colin Kaepernick kneeling situation when it comes to the American flag. So I think Chip Kelly has done a really, really good job of kind of keeping everything in-house. That's really hard to do in the NFL with all the egos going on, all the press, all that kind of stuff. If this game was played in California, I would honestly pick the 49ers, as hard as that is. As much as of a Hawks fan that I am, I would pick, just the way that it's been going, I would pick the Niners. But again, Century League Field is so hard to play at. I believe the Hawks are going to win. It's going to be extremely low scoring. I'm going to go Hawks 13, 49ers 10.
Wow. So big surprise here. I think the Niners will win and the Seahawks will lose. The Hawks can't figure out what they're doing offensively. They have no flow. Russell Wilson has been subpar because he's been running for his life. You can't score 3 points in a game. That's a la Colin Kaepernick of last year. It's not going to help you at all. I don't think it's all Russell Wilson's fault. I think it's on the O-line. We've talked about the O-line struggles in here for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's a problem. I think it can make Russell Wilson just as dangerous as it can make him terrible. And you can't score – you can't be held to 3 points by a team that the team you're playing on has hung 28 on. And it is a quarterback's league, Lacey, and I completely agree with you. But at the end of the day, whatever quarterback Chip Kelly has touched in his entire life has turned to gold. If you look at all the Philadelphia quarterbacks, they had their highest percentages in efficiency and best statistics under him. And Blaine Gabbert's on his way to do the very, very same thing. I think that the Niners quarterback play is only going to improve. He's making Blaine Gabbert the best Blaine Gabbert can be. Is Russell Wilson a better quarterback than him? Yes, but Russell Wilson can't be the best quarterback he can be right now. So the Seahawks will lose. The Niners will win. Niners 24-10.
Quick question for you guys. If we had Tavares Jackson still on the roster, do you believe that he would have played week two against the Niners?
If the Seahawks have Tavares Jackson on the roster, he absolutely starts against the Rams.
Lacey?
Yeah.
You think so? Drew, what do you think?
We're going to have to talk about this whole playthrough pain thing. I just don't want to. We don't have time to go there.
Right.
We don't have time to go there. I want to talk about playthrough pain. It's football. If it's not, if you're not, there's a difference between hurt and injured. If you're hurt, play. If you're injured, don't. I don't want to get into the whole pain thing. It's going to be, we'd go way over Christian's clock here. He'd be throwing stuff at me.
I think it's a situation of give to get. You give a game to get more games, right? Russell Wilson should have sat out against the Rams. He was not nearly as effective as he could have been. Couldn't move. He got beat up in the pocket, which leads me to this Sunday. On Sunday, the Seahawks will lose. They're not going to win. There's not enough. I mean, they just haven't been good enough for you to have, for anyone to have any faith in what they're going to do against the 49ers. Fair or foul?
I think it's fair.
Okay. So the team is averaging 7.5 points per game. Now we're going to have this 2 games. But still, that's good enough for 31st in the NFL. it's bad, okay? The 49ers are averaging 27.5 points per game. That's ninth best in the NFL. That'll work. I'll take 27 a game. Granted, 2 games, small sample size. But they're scoring, right? The Seahawks aren't at all, okay? The Seahawks are passing for 239.5 yards per game.
Okay.
That's 21st best in the league. The team is rushing for 89.5 yards per game. That's 18th best in the league. Russell Wilson isn't healthy. He didn't get healthier by playing last Sunday. The offensive line, I mean, part of Russell Wilson is the elusiveness. Now it's gone. And he's going to get beat up in the pocket. Right? The offensive line isn't good enough to run the football. They're going to have to pass the football.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look, even if the Seahawks are at home, it does not look good for the Seahawks. Nothing's convincing. Nothing says, yeah, they're going to win. To me, nothing says that. Nothing. There's no obvious. Yeah, they should beat this team.
That's why if they were playing away, I think they would lose.
So the home field advantage is going to have that much of an effect to where all of a sudden Russell Wilson can move around like the way he's able to. The offensive line will create enough space for Thomas Rawls or Christine Michael to find a hole and run.
I mean, the Niners have consistently struggled at ceiling, Christian. So I mean, I will give home field advantage. And on the betting lines, like I've always said, home field advantage is good enough for a 3-point line. You get 3 extra points to your name if you play at home. And, you know, I think home field advantage is a big deal, especially at C-Link, especially when you're the Niners coming here. It is a rough time being a 49er in the city of Seattle.
We're
going with that narrative.
Yes.
Talk about the execution on the field, the noise or whatever is going to affect how the Seahawks play offensively. It's not the Seahawks defense. There's reason to believe that they're good enough mm-hmm. to win football games.
Yeah.
It's the offense. The crowd's going to be quiet while the offense is on the field.
Well, I think there's a comfortability factor when it comes to if mm-hmm. I'm, you know, Doug Baldwin, if I'm Curse, you're at home, you're where your heart is, if you will. The line might play a little bit harder than they do on the road, which isn't fair. I mean, you should play hard no matter where you're playing. But I think when you're at home, I believe that you play better. And again, if this was, you know, a random football stadium, but this is C-Link, this is a different culture in Seattle.
I don't necessarily, I do believe, you're right, home field advantage, the 12s, it's going to play a role, but I don't think it's going to play so much of a role that the execution from the Seahawks gets drastically better.
Gotcha.
That's Seahawks going to lose. So I'm 0-2 on the season, right? Taking another risk going away from the Seahawks at home.
I'm 1-1.
Everyone else is 1-1.
Everyone else is
1-1. We'll see what happens.
We're 50-50 here.
Yeah,
I'm about to be 2-1.
All right.
Christian's going to get his first win of the
year. I'm going to get my first win.
Proved 1-2.
There it is. All right, Kellen, take us to break.
So, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will take a look at the UDO football team, find out what we will say about that team. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet didn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to talk a little UW football here for a couple minutes. If you want to call into the show and make a comment, please do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. All right, let's talk some UW football. Their preseason is pretty much over. They rolled over Rutgers, Idaho, and Portland State. conference play starts this weekend for the Huskies. They're matched up against Arizona this weekend. Should be a much tougher game than anything the Dogs have played this season. Lacey, what should we know about Arizona?
So Arizona is 2-1 right now. The Wildcats seem to have more of a rushing offense with 10 rushing touchdowns on the season and only 2 passing touchdowns, which seems to be quite the opposite of Jake Browning and the Dogs, who have 15 receiving touchdowns. Some players to look out for the Wildcats is Nick Wilson, who is a running back. He averages 6 yards per rush and has 3 touchdowns on the season thus far. The next player to look out for looks like a running back on paper, but is in fact the Wildcats quarterback, Brandon Dawkins, averages 6.9 yards per rush and has run in 5 touchdowns himself. Dawkins has only thrown for 458 yards this season compared to Browning's 744 yards. So we have 2 completely different styles of football coming for us this weekend. It should be a fun game to watch.
Kellen, I'll toss it over to you. You know, who does the matchup favor? What are some things we should expect this weekend?
So Arizona defense is giving up an average of 22 points a game. The UW offense is averaging 49 points a game. So you look at those two things, I think that's what is really going to be the tale of the football game. I think the UW offense is going to have a field day against the Arizona defense. It's going to be basically 7-on-7 out there. I believe Jake Browning is going to throw about 3 to 4 touchdowns. John Ross is going to continue his spectacular football play. He's honestly up there with the Heisman, in my opinion, the way he's playing right now. But again, they're playing away. I know I've talked a lot about home and away so far, but UW has struggled in away games during their kind of career with Chris Peterson. So I'm looking forward to this being UW's first real test. Again, you kind of talk about that preseason schedule, some cupcake games, no question about it, with the cherry on top. So I'm looking forward to UW facing some adversity for the first time this season and kind of seeing how they're going to react to it. But I believe the Huskies should win the football game. I'm going to go 35-21.
So I don't know how much you looked into Arizona's schedule, but the 22 points a game, is that because they're playing kind of cupcake games like UW has played or
yeah looking at Arizona's schedule, they lost to BYU, which is a pretty decent football team, but other than that, they played some pretty easy schools, some Sacramento State kind of schools, not officially Sacramento State, but schools kind of like that. So yeah. The fact that their defense gave up that many points against schools like that is scary when they're about to face the UW offense.
Exactly. So if we were to do the same thing with the University of Washington defense and see what they gave up against Rutgers and Idaho and Portland State,
right,
you'd be like, oh, this defense is incredible.
Exactly.
I mean, those numbers aren't super telling yet.
Yeah.
Which is why it's exciting to get into conference play, because we can finally see, you know, is the University of Washington really the ninth best team in the country?
Right. Ninth best. That's crazy to think about.
Kel, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, Jake put on another show, four touchdowns. Not a lot of yards, only 163, but three or four touchdowns. Total for the year is, what, now at 12? I mean, the guy's going to have a year. It's the air raid offense, ladies and gentlemen. Arizona's not ready for it. They're going to hang 50-plus on them. For 50-plus.
It should be fun. You know, it's tough. It's tough for us because we're also invested in the POU football team, but it's going to be fun to watch, you know, how conference play turns out for UW, because there's legitimacy behind it. They are, right now, the ninth best team in the top 25.
Yep.
That's legit. They're nationally recognized, so it's going to be fun to follow that throughout the year. All right, I guess that'll just about do it for today's show. What do we got going on this weekend at POU here?
Men's soccer is the only thing that's at home this weekend, Christian.
Oh, nice. Who they got?
Men's soccer's here. They have the Wits.
Both right. Wits, Whitman and Whitworth. Very nice.
Huge, huge implications for conference picture.
As far, yeah.
And women, they will travel to Linfield and Lewis and Clark over the weekend. I might try to make it out to a soccer game.
Yeah, you got to buy this week, Kellen, so you get to chill.
I do. We should win. We should win this weekend. Football should win.
Yeah, you will not lose this weekend. That's a guarantee.
We're favored.
I'll book it right now.
Looking forward to hearing about that next week.
They got a great defense.
if you want to, anyone on campus wants to come out to that the baseball alumni game.
That's exciting. Max Beauty's going to come back. He's a great pitcher for the.
I wrote a story about him. I talked to him this summer.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
I'll get to meet him. Max is a cool story. He missed his 2012 season, I believe. He had a bout with testicular cancer. Came back from that. In 2013, it absolutely was dominant for POU. He's bounced around to a couple of organizations, but he's a pro baseball player, and at one point it looked like, you know, baseball was the least of his worries. So yeah. Max is a cool dude, cool story. That'll do it here for Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes. I'm Christian Bond.
I'm Lacey Nicholson.
I'm Gerard Asoni.
Tellin's Guy Westry.
We're out of here. We'll see you next week, Thursday from 9 to 11 a.m. There's no Terrence Take this week. That'll come back next week from at 4 o'clock on Thursday. So check out her first podcast. It's pretty entertaining. She is quite the character, so listen to her show. That'll do it for us. We're out of here. See you.